let's just bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a privilege we have, Lord. A nice place, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, to come and together. And Lord, just a wonderful, wonderful group of people, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we can reach out to one another, dear God. And Lord, there's a closeness of family there, God. I pray, Lord, this morning, may you help me to yield to you. For my desire, dear God, is to do your will. Lord, I just want to be a blessing to your people, a help to them, dear God. I pray that you will help me, Lord, that I might be able to be that channel for you this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. While you're standing, if you could turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Mark, it's good to see you. Is that your daughter? My goodness. Well, she's grown. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5. I want to begin reading at verse 43. And just keep in mind what we preached last Sunday, every seed cometh to maturity. That's what we're continuing on with. Verse 43, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You may be seated. Now the word perfect there, I just want to give this meaning from the Greek to you. The word perfect means here in where it's used, brought to its end, finish, wanting nothing necessary to completeness, full grown adult of full age, mature. So, you know, it's a how in the world, how can you love your enemies? How can you love them that hate you? And you say, well, I don't hate them, but do you love them? How can you love those that have become your enemy? Do, as the scripture said, they curse you, they hate you, they despitefully use you, they persecute you. How in the world could you love people like that? Well, first of all, remember this. There was a day that the Christians were being persecuted by a man named Saul. But when God got a hold of him, we find out he was the true seed. And he changed his name to Paul, God did. So, first of all, that nature of the world, if someone's yielding to those spirits, until they get delivered of that, then they're going to act out according to whatever spirit's got control and influence over them. The next thing is this, and some practice at this, and I've thought long and hard and prayed long and hard about it. But I realize that I can't go there if I'm hating somebody. And I realize this, there's no one that's done anything to me that's worth me hating them so much that I'll miss out on going there. There's nothing that's worth missing out on going to heaven. There's nothing in this world, no possessions, nothing the world can offer. There's nothing that's worth. I don't care how good it looks, how good it feels, how good it seems. There's nothing worth missing out on going to heaven. There's nothing worth trading it. You know, Judas found that out. What did he do after he seen what he'd done? He realized that 30 pieces of silver wasn't worth it. He took it back and throwed the money down back to the priest. Said, take it back. They said, we can't take it back. It's blood money. He said, take it back. See, he realized Judas come to place. He realized what he'd done. He realized it wasn't worth it. But he couldn't undo what he did. That's why in misery, he went out and hung himself. See, that's the way the devil will do. He'll use somebody, and then when they get to such a state, well, he's done with them. I remember years ago, I was sitting here in a meeting up in Ohio. Brother Donnie Reagan was preaching, and look, if I know every once in a while I mention his name from the pulpit here. If that offends anybody, I'm sorry. he's just my brother in the Lord. And I love and appreciate him. But he said, and I like the example, he said the devil will call somebody to go rob a bank and then he'll dial 911 while they're there doing it. That's just how much he cares for you. See? Perfect. Now, I want to, there's a quote that we looked at last Sunday, and I'm not going to look at the whole thing, but there's a part within there that I do want to look at. And Brother Branham, this is an end time sign seed. Brother Branham's talking about Job getting a revelation, and I did expound upon that last Sunday, so I'm not going to expound upon that part. But he says here concerning the revelation Job had got of Christ and of the resurrection, he said, when he spoke the word that God showed him, it become material, for it was a spoken word, and in its seed it happened just exactly that, in its season, I'm sorry, and in its season, it happened just exactly that way. Now he's talking about Job getting the revelation of the resurrection, getting the revelation that Christ was coming, and that he would bring about the resurrection of those. That was a question Job had. You know, when man dies, what happens? Job had that question. And Job got the revelation of that when God showed him in a vision, showed him Christ coming, showed him the crucifixion, and showed him the resurrection. And then Job was able then to say, the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. And so when Job got the revelation of that, why, it didn't happen right then. It didn't happen till it was season for it to happen. You know, they say that Job, the book of Job, is the oldest book in the Bible. The oldest book in the Bible. So Job, all this took place with Job. Why? That was before Moses, and it was before Moses ever wrote, the first five books of the Bible. It was before any of that was ever wrote. The book of Job had been wrote. And Job saw the revelation of that. And that revelation, Job was, he was before the time of Moses. But yet, here, when it come season for Moses to be brought on the scene, then when Moses was leading the children of Israel, you realize if you look at the type of how the tabernacle was set up, and each part spoke of something of Christ, down to the sockets that was put to hold the post together. Every bit of it had something that spoke of Christ, and it also spoke of you. But yet it wasn't season yet for Christ to come. Moses was a type of Christ, but before Moses there was another one, Joseph. But in its right season, and that's why I'll say every seed, I don't care what the seed is, if it's seed of God, it ain't, look, friends, we're at a time right now when every seed is coming to maturity. We look and we see the wars that are going on over in the Middle East. Every seed is coming to maturity. We know by prophecy things that are going to transpire and happen leading up to the coming of the Lord, leading up to the rapture. And we know that we've been in a rapturing process already, but leading up to the resurrection, there are things that we know by prophecy that must take place and will happen. Well, it's coming to maturity for all of that. Every bit of that's coming to maturity. You look at what's I always look at what's going on with Israel. And I see those around Israel, how much their hatred for them is growing, it seems. And the other thing I look at is this. At one time, this nation was the greatest ally that Israel had. And I watch in the media, the news, and that I watch and I see that as a nation, the outlook toward Israel is changing. And America, friends, listen, one of the reasons Americans have been blessed with so many different things is because of how they have been an ally to Israel. There's coming a day America will turn her back on Israel completely. I look at it and I see that the turning has already began. The turning has already began. And I watch all these things that's happening in you know, you look, and Brother Branham talked about babies being mothers not having the right kind of love. And he said motherhood was a backbone of the country. He said it's broke. He said that the mothers leaving their babies and so on. But friends, listen, to compare to what it was then, look at it now. You realize there is actually here in the United States, there is if somebody doesn't want their baby and they take it and drop it off at a safe place in a hospital somewhere, that there's no law that can prosecute them for that. As long as they drop it off in a safe haven like that, why, it's all right. That's the truth. Did you know that? That's the truth. All these things, you know, I look at everything I look at in the news, in the U.S. news, I see seeds coming to maturity. There's got to be a certain mindset within the people that are going to be here and go through the tribulation. They're being prepared for that. There's a group that's not far from here, and I'm just be careful how I say this, but there's a group that they're buying up land and property, and they're building and they're gathering up food to store and seed to plant and all these different things, because they talk about there's coming a real bad time. And they are preparing for it. Somebody asked me, said, what are they doing? I said, there are people, church people, that believe the church has to go through the tribulation. But the bride's not going to go through the tribulation, friends. The church of God's not going through tribulation. I'm not preparing for the tribulation. I'm preparing to leave here. But when I see those preparing for that, what am I seeing? I'm seeing those seeds are coming to maturity. Every seed will reach its maturity. Listen, we can't be raptured until we reach that maturity. Once we reach that maturity, friends, listen, I believe there's perfect love among us. But do we possess that perfect love in a completeness? No. No, not yet. But now listen, this body, this flesh, in the state that it's in, isn't never going to be able to produce it. This flesh is in a fallen state. We know that when the resurrection comes, then the Bible tells us we'll be changed. Those that are alive may be changed in a moment, twinkling the eye. This body will be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. But in this corruptible flesh, it cannot manifest perfect love. There's a reason I'm telling you this. Because the devil will point and say, look, you ain't producing it. This flesh is not. The nature of this flesh is to get paybacks. Excuse me, I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to use big fancy words to say it. I'm just going to say it like it is so everybody can understand. I could use big fancy words in that, but if I just get right down to the simple thing of it, that, you know, this flesh wants revenge. It wants to be able It wants to get paybacks. Yeah. It wants to see those that have done things against us to get what I call their comeuppance. But the thing is, the Bible says, God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we don't look at that in a way of saying, boy, I'm so happy he's going to get them. No, listen, that is meaning, Lord, look, don't hold nothing in your heart like that. Now, let me come back to this quote. He says, the womb of your spirit is your mind. Your mind is a channel. He said, you've got five senses controls the body, and you got five that controls. Now, here in this message, he says controls the soul, and he said there's one, only one channel inside of that soul. Now, I just want to stop there for a moment and just make one statement. I don't know how many has access to computer or has access to the message, to a message database. But if you do, if you will type in body, soul, and spirit, and bring up every quote where that's mentioned, don't do nothing to them, just hit print, and print every one of them. And then they'll print off in chronological order by the year that it was spoke. And what you will find is, you will find that everywhere before the seals was opened, Brother Branham put the five gates in the soul. But what you will discover is everywhere after the seals was opened, Brother Branham put the five gates in the spirit. The word, but he said about the seals, being opened, said it, the Bible became a new Bible to me. He said a third pool was opening of the word. Amen? The opening, and he, listen, friends, the word corrected any error. How many knows Brother Bram talked about that before he came out to preach the seals, that he had studied this one's book and that one's book and this other book by wrote by some other man, and he was looking all this over, you know, and he said if he'd come out and preached it without the Lamb coming down and opening that book, he said, I'd had it all wrong. And you notice in every seal, he'll be preaching and he's talking and he's going through things, and then there'll be a spot within that particular message. He'll stop and he'll say, now, the only one that can open this book is the Lamb of God. He says, and now he takes the book and he opens it, and then the rest of that is unveiling to you what lay under that seal. Brother Branham himself couldn't do that as a man. As a man, friends, look, we have error. But in the word, there is no error. The word will always correct our error. Right? Amen. Now, let me go back to this. The womb of your spirit is your mind. Your mind is a channel. Now, he's talking about five channels, and he doesn't name them here, but they're imagination, memory, reasoning, conscience, and affection. And he says, then your body, you see, there's see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. But there's only one channel inside the soul. Now, to show that you are a seed, this is a part I want to get to. To show you are a seed, there's only one channel avenue, one way into that, your own free moral agency. That is, you can receive or reject. You do whatever you want to. He said, to show that you are a seed, you're on your own free moral agency. That is, you can receive or reject. You do whatever you want to. Now, as I've been saying, all these things that I've talked about, are all these people, every person is a seed of someone. And it's going to come to its maturity. Now look, Judas, remember how Jesus said, the father said, you've given me 12, and one of them's a devil. Judas was counted among the 12. Judas went out and done just like the other 11 did. And remember when Jesus was saying, there's one among you that will betray me. And the disciples began to wonder among themselves, who was it? Who could it be? Because here they had eaten with this man. They had camped out with this man. They had traveled with him. And they didn't know what seed he was. until that seed came to maturity. And it came to maturity, and when it did, it sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. There was another brother among them whose name was Judas, and they referred to him in the Bible, Judas, not Iscariot. But when they talk about Judas, they say Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed him. But see, before it came to its maturity, they didn't know what Judas was of. He looked like he was just one of them. You say it this way, because I really want to get this across. He was under the umbrella of the message of that day and hour. He was a message believer. The message for that day, Judas was among the other message believers, and they didn't know him from themselves. And here's the other thing, the reason they begin to question, friends, because each one of them, you know, had they come to a full relationship or a realization of who they were individually? No. Even Peter, who said that I will not forsake you, though all else will, I won't. Peter was saying that out of his flesh. Because when the cock crowed and Peter realized what he had done, that he had denied him, then Peter left and said, I'm going fishing. What was it? Peter thought, well, see, I did exactly what he said I would do. Look at that. It shows, man, I ain't no better than Judas. Huh? Amen. And you've heard it preached why Jesus, when he said, go tell my disciples after he rose, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He didn't say, go tell my disciples and John. No, he said, and Peter. Why? Because Peter thought, I'm just as bad as Judas. Peter was out there fishing because he didn't know who he was. When Jesus was, Jesus then, when he came, you remember Peter was out there fishing, Jesus came, and Peter dove into the water. You remember that? Then he came to shore, and Jesus, when he got there, Jesus had fish prepared for him on the fire. I've often wondered where them fish come from. Jesus wasn't the one out there fishing, they were. But the Bible says when they come in and come to him, he had fish prepared for them. Well, where did all that fish and bread come from when that little boy, that little lad brought his lunch and fed a multitude? And you know what? It wasn't raw dough that he gave them. He gave them baked bread. And when he got done, they took up more than they started with. That's just the way the Lord is, friends. Sometimes you think, well, I just ain't got much and I'm losing what I got. It's like the woman, the widow that Elijah came to, she said, I've got just enough meal, just enough oil to make me and my son a cake, and we're going to eat that, and then we're going to die. And he said, make me one first. And see, she obeyed you think she understood everything? You think that she had a complete understanding of why she was doing it or what she was doing? No, she just obeyed it. And said, the meal barrel will never go empty and the crucible will never be dry. And because she gave what little she had, then she had enough to sustain her through the famine. In other words, she ended up with more than what she started with. You can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. This isn't no message of prosperity, but I'm telling you this, he will bless you. You can't outgive him. Now, we know and we've established that we are a seed. And we wonder, then you might want to say, well, okay, I get that. But how do we know what seed is what? Or how do we know that we're a seed of God? Because you know that's where the devil comes and tries to always bring a question to you. How do you know you are? Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. Now, that's all well and fine to say, well, okay, I'll just be happy because my reward's going to be great. No, I'll tell you why you should jump for joy and be happy. Because of the next said, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. This, it shows the identification of the seed. Let me put it to you this way. In order for you to be hated, somebody has got to be the one, or got to be those that hate you. You aren't hated unless somebody's hating you. You understand? That's just simple. In order for someone to separate you from their company, that means there has to be someone to fulfill that part. There has to be someone that reaches maturity. Their seed comes to maturity where they say, I don't want no part of you. I don't want you in my company. In order for you to be persecuted, there's got to be a persecutor. In order for you to be hated, there's got to be a hater. In order for for you to be cursed, there's got to be a curser. One that'll curse you. There's got to be someone that'll cast your... Friends, I've said this. Every part of the scripture must be fulfilled. There's some parts of the scripture I don't want to fulfill. I've heard people say, I want to fulfill all the word of God. And I understand where they're coming from when they say that. But understand this, when I say, I don't want to fulfill all the word of God. I only want to fulfill the part that applies to the seed of God. I don't want to be a persecutor. I don't want to be a hater. I don't want to be amongst those that persecuted the prophets. See, this is a seed identification of seed coming here. So we already showed you were seed. Now we'll show what kind of seed you are. See? Blessed are ye when men hate you. Why? Because it shows what seed you are. And when they shall separate you from their company, because it shows what seed you are. and shall reproach you, because it shows what seed you are, and cast your name out as evil. I'll say it again, because it shows what seed you are. No wonder he said, rejoice in that day, leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Friends, listen. No matter what I preach, the devil's not going to come. He's not going to stop coming and telling you you're not one of them. But if you'll believe what I preach, then you won't believe what he's saying. Amen. Listen, Brother Branham, the prophet said it. He said, the devil can inject a thought, but said he cannot read your mind. But he can inject a thought and then stand back and watch for your reaction, what you're going to do. Now, here's the thing. When you recognize that, when he injects a thought and you like a thought of, well, you're not one of them, don't carry on that thought. Just rebuke that. Look, I know we're all human. Pardon me. The devil will inject a thought, and before you realize it, it might even be an evil thought. And before you realize it, you've started to dwell on it. And then after you realize you started to dwell on it, the devil watches for just the slightest bit of reaction. And then he'll throw another thought in there. Uh-huh. I thought you said you had the Holy Ghost. See, my mind didn't get the Holy Ghost. My soul did. What is the part of you that recognizes, wait a minute, my mind just ran away with me? Hey, that's just part of being human. You know, every Monday I come into town to take care of different things, business and things I've got. Every Saturday I come in toward town, and most every Saturday, and take off the garbage. And I come in from South 48 and turn on Eno Road. Well, who's ever riding with me, I usually tell them, make sure you remind me we're taking off the trash. Because I'll get quiet and get to thinking, and my mind will go way off somewhere. And then they'll say, you passed the road. Why is that? Yeah. We can get a thought come to us, and here we'll go, wandering right off on it. And before you know it, your car's on autopilot. Wherever you go the most, that's where that car's going to go. you just switched off and put it on autopilot. My wife's been with me and said, where are you going? We could be going to the bank. She said, where are you going? I said, well, I guess I was going to church. I'm telling you these things to show just how human we are. And to show you, look, the devil injects a thought and you catch yourself starting to wonder on it. Don't be condemned by that. Just as soon as you recognize it, say, wait a minute, buddy, that thought ain't mine. I don't want that. Now, I've had thoughts from in my flesh where, I'll be honest with you, when somebody, it ain't that big of a deal when somebody does something to me. It's not really that big a deal to me. You know what I mean? I mean, like, if I was going for a parking place and somebody else comes, right here. Well, fine, let them have it. You know, I'm not going to fuss with them. You know, I wouldn't have tried to dart in there because I don't want them hitting my vehicle. And when you come to a four-way stop, and you know, maybe you know you got the right of way. Well, I'm going to let old dent fender go first anyhow. You know, I've had people say things. I've had people, supposed to be message believers, tell some other preacher, said, well, Brother Jerry ain't got the Holy Ghost because of this and this and this. I had a preacher call me up. He was a good friend of mine. I love him. He said, brother, he says, I just got to call you and ask you something. And I said, sure, go ahead. He said, how's Brother Phil doing? I said, doing good. That's been some time back. I said, he's doing good. I said, well, I said, is he coming to church? I said, yeah. I said, except, you know, when he's got his job takes him out of town, then sometimes, you know, he might be out of town. I said, but no, he's coming. I said, why? He said, well, somebody told me he was backslid and didn't come to church no more. And then he told me, he told me the state where it come from. So you might not believe this, but this comes from certain state. And I said, no, I believe it. See, why don't do things like that? Why, what happened? Why something gets around because Brother Phil moved from Charlotte and moved way out away, further away from the church so he'd get closer to his job. And so somebody's got to come up with, well, why did he do that? Why is it any of your business? And they got to come up with some reason why, and that's what they come up with. He's backslid and don't go to church no more. When those things happen, look, I'm not saying this, and I would never want to point a finger. Maybe that individual will get right. I hope they do. Well, if they don't, they're sure going to wake up to a surprise one day. Somebody one time told me, said a certain brother who I considered to be a friend, said he said something bad about something, how I took care of something. And this brother, he went to another church. Man, that made me feel really bad. You know. And the thing was, I just couldn't hardly believe that he would have said it. Now, just forgive me, friends. This ain't funny. But there's some people, when I hear they said something about me, I believe they'd said it. You understand, just the character. But I just could not believe this person was saying, and I kept asking, why would they, I've never done nothing but good to them. And so after a bit, I called them up. And I said, brother, I said, listen, I got to call you. I said, something has been said, and it is just really eating at me. He said, what is it? And I said, well, somebody had said to me, that you said such and such about me. He said, brother, I'd never say nothing like that. I wouldn't say nothing about any minister like that. He said, who told you that? Well, I didn't really want to tell him because I knew the individuals told me had got it secondhand. So, but I did tell him who it was told me. And I said, but look, I know you know, that somebody had to told them. He said, I'll tell you who told them. I'll tell you who told them I said this when I didn't. He said, it was my daddy. He said, you know how he is. That he can't never come under headship or stay anywhere. He said, don't pay no attention to that, Brother Jerry. I never said that. He said, don't pay no attention to my daddy. Just like that. Whew. I wouldn't want to have that reputation. I just wouldn't. Philippians chapter 2. Turn me to Philippians chapter 2. I watch my time here now. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. I believe he said that we be blameless and harmless. I've been facing something that has caused me to have all kinds of different feelings in my flesh. And I've had to bring that flesh into subjection to the word. And there's times, you know, that you, in your flesh, somebody will do something, and I was trying to get to this earlier, somebody will do something against your family. You don't mind so much. Don't bother you so much for doing something against you. But when they do something against your family, that gets to me. I know y'all ain't no different. And especially when I know that it's being done without cause. I've had my kids treated a certain way because they were my kids. It wasn't nothing they done or didn't do or whatever, nothing even about them. Something happened somewhere, they said, well, who was involved? I said, well, John was involved in it. I said, oh, them Browning boys. Like that. But there's things a lot worse than that. That didn't... The only thing that bothered me about that was, it just bothered me because I know what that's like to be growing up and have people speak evil of you just because who your daddy is. Because they don't like him or like something he preached or it didn't set well with them, so all of a sudden they'll take it off on any of his children. But, you know, sometimes somebody will do something real evil and bad against your family. In your flesh, there will be thoughts that come because you want to remove that threat. And you'll have thoughts, well, I tell you what. Well, I ought to. Isn't it? When that's happened to me, I'm like, wait a minute. I can't be like that. I can't entertain that thought. I want to be blameless. Going through something now, and the thought is, I got decisions I got to make once we get through this. I know there's going to be an end. Ain't nothing could go on forever except eternal life. And I've got decisions. I know I'm facing decisions I got to make when we get through this. And I don't want to make a wrong decision. I'm sorry I can't share more. Sorry I can't share more about it. I just can't. It ain't because of that it'd be embarrassment to me or my family, nothing like that. It ain't nothing because of that. It's because that we've been told not to, that's why. And I, when it comes time to make them decisions, it's just tormenting me right now. It's just going through my mind. When it comes time for me to make a decision, I want to know that I made it out of the right spirit and attitude. Brother Branham said we got to love our enemies. He said, because and love those that hate you, he said, for we're only here for one purpose, and that's to do the will of the Father. In different places, Brother Branham talked about perfect love, and in the mess of adoption, Brother Branham said, talking about going to that other dimension, he said, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place. I want to manifest that perfect love. Not so I can stick my chest out like I'm real proud or nothing. It's just because I want to be blameless. And I want to be harmless. As Scripture said we should be. Hallelujah. We got just a few more minutes. Why do they hate you? Said, love those that hate you. Why do they hate us? You remember Joseph was born and he was loved of his father, but his brethren hated him. His brethren hated him. Do you know that story of Joseph is a type and speaks of Christ? He was loved of the Father, but he was hated by all the religious people of that day. You know, everything Joseph put his hand to prospered. It didn't matter where he was. Didn't matter whether he was in prison or whether he was up around the throne, he prospered, right? So it did with Jesus. You know, when he was in prison, there was two in prison with him. There was a baker and a butler, that's right. I was trying to think, I kept thinking of who it was that served the drink in that. There's a baker and a butler. And remember, now, there was a dream they had, and Joseph interpreted the dreams. One of them was restored to his position. One of them lived. The other one died. There was two others on the cross with Jesus. One of them lived. One of them died. Now, the one that lived, he didn't live in this life. He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He said, Jesus said to him, this day shall you be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me just drop this in here. You know, I said this last Sunday. The scripture says, whatsoever seed a man soweth, that will he reap. Let me just drop this in here. Both them individuals was hanging up around crosses because the seeds they had sown, they were thieves. And that's what got them up there. But one of them, and this is just so beautiful to me, one of them decided and knew, he said, we're wrong. He told the other, me and you, we belong up here. He said, but this man's innocent. And he sowed a different seed. You know, your words you speak is a seed. He sowed a different seed when he said, because see, he believed. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Now that, because they had sowed these seeds of thievery, they both had to pay the price for that. They had to reap them. But because this other one sowed another seed right before, then he got to reap that. This day will you be with me in paradise. Now I say all this for that. Maybe you've been out and you've been hadn't been sowing the right seed. Well, just sow the right seed today. Sow the right seed today. Hallelujah. Why did they hate Jesus? Same reason they hated Joseph. Joseph, friends, Joseph would see visions. He would have dreams. And he'd come tell his father and his brothers about it. Well, things were being revealed to him. You know that it was because of Joseph interpreting a dream, because of his revelation, put it this way, because of Joseph's revelation, it saved the world. Because of his revelation of the famine coming, revelation because Pharaoh had had them dreams, remember? And Joseph got the revelation of them. And because of that, it saved the world. It would have died of famine. But he said, you got 7 good years coming. Store up. Because there's 7 bad years coming after that. And because of Jesus Christ, if it hadn't been for him, the whole world would have been lost. But because of Jesus, the whole world... he died that the whole world could be saved. Amen. But it's up to every individual to make that choice, whether they receive or reject. They hated Jesus because he was the manifestation of the word. That's why they hate you. Because when they see the word manifesting in your life, and it ain't like, friends, listen, and it ain't like according to how they think it should be. You know, in the Bible one time, there was a man that got to worshiping God and got to dancing. He was so happy. And he got criticized for his worship. Said he was out of order. Said, look at you, supposed to be a king. How ashamed the way you out there acting and dancing among the people. And you know what David said? He said, if you think that's something, watch this. He danced all the more. Look, friends, I don't preach no doctrine that if you're going to worship God, you got to do it in a certain way. Everybody do it in their own way, how God moves on you. We're different as individuals. We ain't all the same. But the only thing I can tell you is just make sure you're worshiping God. Amen. When you sing, I'm so happy, happy since my burdens rolled away, well, Sing it like you're happy. Amen. I heard people singing, I'm happy, happy. Don't sound like it. Amen. Come to the instruments to make way. I only know the chorus right now. I have to learn the lyrics to the verses, but I want to sing this chorus. If you know it, you can join in with me. And I don't know what key it's in, so I just have to sing it. It's been a long journey, but I've been blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He's so good to me, I must confess. The road's been long, but I'm blessed. It's been a long journey, but I've been blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He's so good to me, I must confess. The way's been hard, but I'm blessed. Amen. Stand, try to sing with me. Been a long journey, but I've been blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He's so good to me, I must confess. The way's been hard, but I'm blessed. Well, it's been a long journey, but I've been blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He's so good to me, I must confess. The way's been hard, but I'm blessed. Amen, that's the truth. I just was sitting at the breakfast table this morning, and that song that just got on my heart like that, and because we was... hardship thing we're facing, and I just got to thinking on that song. It don't matter, you know. Listen, you know, as Joseph was a son of prosperity, so was Jesus, and you know that his word says that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. He'll work all things out to your good. I don't care what you're going through, what you're facing. You might look at it and say, I cannot see how in the world that this is going to be any good to me. How is this going to bless me? You may not know until after a while, you know. You might not know until later on down the road, or even might not know till we get to the other side. And it might be something just as simple as a molding of our character. It might be something just as simple as this. It come our way because it's molding in us to have that perfect love. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, if it's going to take perfect love to put us there, then friends, listen, that's working out to my good. If something comes along and causes me to have to look and say, hey, I got to love those that are hating me. I got to do good to them that's doing bad to me. And realize, buddy, it's going to take something. This flesh won't be able to do that. It's going to take something. It'll have to take something. What is it? It'll have to take God's love in us. Amen. And the Holy Spirit that's in your soul, it'll bring this old flesh man into subjection. This flesh man might be thinking one thing, but this Spirit of God in your soul say, hold on just a minute. Wait just a minute now. That ain't right. You know, I was thinking on the way in this morning, I thought, I sure wish I could. I can't take a trip right now. I got to wait a little while. But I thought, well, I'd sure like to go to West Virginia. See my aunt and them over there. And I've told y'all before, just something about them mountains over there. It means something to me. It does something to me. But you know, every time I've took a trip over there, something goes wrong at home. Either electricity goes out and we lose all the food we got, or the air conditioning went out. The last time I was there, the air conditioning went out at home. My wife said, always something breaks, you know. Had to replace, I think, the dishwasher one time, and I think one time it was a dryer, you know, or something rather, and when I got home, then I had to get that thing fixed and all that. And I thought, you reckon maybe the Lord's trying to tell me something about going there. And that thought got on me like that, and then all of a sudden I said, that don't make no sense. That don't make no sense. Because I know for certainty when God has spoke to me and told me to go. So I thought, well, that's just the devil trying to make me think that. Because I know God has sent me there. And I know when I go, amen, I know when I go, I breathe in that mountain air and it seems to refresh me. And then while I'm over there, the folks that's there, well, I just let the Lord use me to be a blessing to them. So I said, that was just a thought of the devil like that, trying to work like that. Well, maybe God don't want you to go while stuff's going wrong. No, devil, it's going wrong because you keep attacking my family because you don't want me to go. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Phil, could you come up and lead him in some songs, brother?
It's a little chorus, so I went to see him with fun this week.